Welcome to the Rearview Mirror Podcast, looking back on all that we don't know and a few things that we do. So I don't smoke a lot of turkeys.
Okay.
But it's just, you know, poultry, you gotta, it's just, it's kind of bland.
I was like, do you like turkey?
You know, it's funny, we were talking about this last night because we're going to do Thanksgiving at our house. And, you know, I said, all right, guys, what are we really, you know, it's a smaller crowd. We don't have to cater to, you know, somebody's bringing something nobody likes, but they bring it every year and they think people like it. Mm-hmm. And so all that's out the window. Yeah. What do we really want?
That's great.
Okay. My mom makes a dressing, my grandmother's recipe, her mother's recipe, probably. We love it. I love it. It's really great. And so we're going to make that. And then I'm smoking a turkey today for my kids' Friendsgiving
deal. Okay.
We usually do oven roasted turkey. I'm the only one probably in my family that likes that.
Likes turkey? Yeah. Or oven roasted specifically?
Either way.
Okay. Yeah.
My family loves smoked things. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably end up smoking something, maybe a ham or a turkey or something. But, you know, poultry's just, it's kind of, it's bland.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law and I will joke that the bane of our existence, he loves to cook. He's a fantastic chef. And the bane of our existence is the boneless, skinless chicken breast.
Oh.
God in heaven.
You've said that so many times. Yeah.
It's 100,000 ways to do something better. But sorry, boneless, skinless chicken people. But man, I'm going to stand firm on that. So I brined this turkey for about 36 hours. Got it resting and a little salt on it in the fridge right now. Smoke it for a few hours today. I don't know what I'm going to season it with yet. Stuff it. I mean, it'll be good. Look, my smoker's 20 years old. It's got a great buildup in there.
That's right.
It smells good when nothing's cooking on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yes, I do.
And so it'll be fine.
About 5 years ago, I was so tired of, I'm not a big turkey fan because it's so dry and bland, generally speaking, at least the way it's always been cooked in my family of origin and even in our early years of turkeydom, you know. And so a few years ago when I started smoking, I thought, okay, I'm going to figure out how to make a good turkey. So I do the same thing. I brine it for a couple of days. Then I do a rub on it. I stuff it and I inject it. And the injection's been the game changer,
same.
I think. Yeah. Man.
I always inject turkey and chickens.
Really?
Almost always, because unless I'm oven roasting them. But the injection's it's a no brainer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it has been such a game changer. So a couple of years ago, we were doing Thanksgiving on a Friday. We often do it on Friday or Saturday because, you know, our kids meet with their in-laws on Thanksgiving Day. And so we were having our Thanksgiving turkey. I said, you guys, y'all had turkey yesterday, and here we are having it again. Going forward, should we change? Should we, like, do something different on Thanksgiving, you know, change, when we're all together? Yeah, I like change. And it's so funny because they were like, no, we love this turkey. It's good turkey. I thought, all right, cool. So we still do. They do two turkeys in 2 days, and good for them. I think mine's better. I don't know. I like it, though.
You lost me on that last part. You eat turkey twice at your house?
No. My kids do. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Probably didn't
communicate clearly. Okay.
Yeah. They'll do it like, you know, families on Thursday, and then because I was just thinking we don't want to do it 2 days in a row, do y'all? I mean, it would be one day for us, but I would not have turkey and not be disappointed. Like one of my daughters-in-law, her family, this year for Thanksgiving, they decided, you know what? We all like mom's lasagna better, so they're having lasagna on Thanksgiving. I'm like, why not? Do what sounds good.
Do what you like.
That's right.
I don't know that I can get my head around that, but
lasagna?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's an Italian Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Because didn't the Italians come and meet with the Native Americans? Is that? No, I don't remember American history. I'm kidding. I know better than that.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
It's going to be in the carb family more than likely. Really good, smooth mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving make me just smile. Like really good. Yeah. Grace Hill, one of the daughters-in-law, she's made them for the last few years, and she does the, you know, not only the butter, but the cream cheese and, you know, all the goodness in them. And
yeah,
gosh, I can get lost in that. I love the comfort food carbs at Thanksgiving, you know. We always, growing up, Dad wasn't a big turkey fan, so Mom always made turkey and ham. We always had both, you know, as a lot of families do, I know. And there's something about getting a piece of ham and a good dinner roll and running around little mashed potatoes that I'm pretty like, okay, that's a good moment for me right there.
Pretty solid.
If the ham's good, not too salty, you know, if it's good ham.
I'm thinking about smoking a ham this year.
I've never done it. I think that'd be a blast.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I don't think I have either, but yeah, I'm thinking about this year. One of the reasons, though, I like to have a turkey or smoke a turkey, or my brother-in-law and I started doing this a few years ago, so we would do turkey at, you know, lunch, either smoked or cooked in the oven. And then we would make, he and I would make turkey, make a stock that afternoon from the bones and the carcass.
Gosh.
And we'd make gumbo that night.
And Thanksgiving Day night. Wow.
Or either the next day, however long it took us. Yeah. Sometimes we could get a little carried away in the stock making. And there have been times when the dishes did not come out on time. And
we'll have it for breakfast tomorrow, kids.
My sister-in-law will come in the kitchen and say, hey, it's 8 o'clock and y'all haven't started on the gumbo yet. Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yeah.
It is. Time has gotten away from us.
Cowboys game is fun to watch on Thanksgiving Day, huh?
Well, it wasn't that. It was.
I know it wasn't. What was it?
We were just making stock.
Okay.
Yeah. Just making, you know, there's a lot involved in that, Jeff. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kitchen activity. And, so anyway, yeah, that was our little thing.
That's fun. So this year, y'all are at your house?
Yeah, we're going to be five of us. My mom's coming over, and then we'll make a quick trip down to see some of Jen's family for a bit on Saturday. And Caroline's here, so yeah, we'll be here, but we got, you know, a little bit of traveling and several activities, and
yeah,
so good, you know.
Well, Thanksgiving, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Somebody said, right?
Is it?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. Now to Christmas, it's the most stressful time. It feels like.
Well, Jen and I were just talking. Funny, we say that. We were just talking about that this morning. I said, you know, I think we're fairly excited about the week and some of the things. And when I said, if I'm being honest, when I think about the holidays, it's equal parts
excitement and stress.
I don't even know if excitement. It's stress and pressure. I think mostly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like I think we talked about this before. These are not random holidays, I know, but the expectations accelerate during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, I mean, it's life doesn't stop.
Yeah.
The same conflict and illnesses and things that are going on in every family are still going on in the holidays.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's magnified because there's this pressure of additional people expectations, and you know, it's just,
and you know, hopping over Thanksgiving to Christmas, golly, I think that's what I hear in my office so much, is families where the pressure, just one topic, the pressure of gift giving drives people in the ground, whether it's don't know what to get for a family member, or oh my gosh, please don't buy all that stuff for our kids, but there's a grandparent that wants to spoil the kids. And so now they've got, gosh, we got all these gifts, but we don't want that much. It's amazing the layers and the levels of stress that come from something as simple as, you know, let's joyfully give a gift to each other. The joy is quickly gone if we're not careful.
Everybody's not on the same page on that.
Usually. We made a decision over the last couple of years. You know, I think when grandkids first, I did this with our kids too. They'd come along and I just felt like, oh my gosh, I've got to get them a bunch of stuff. I don't know, it was just that poverty mindset of my childhood probably. Flip to the other extreme, like, oh my gosh, I got to get a bunch of stuff. And I remember one Christmas, and it's on video somewhere. I'd love to find it and watch it again. But we went lavish on Christmas. I went lavish on Christmas gifts it was Josh and Sarah. They were I didn't think the other two may have been the world yet. And there was this toy store that went out of business like on December 21st. And my buddy Wes and I went, and we bought so much stuff. Crap is what we bought. And so our kids opened up so many gifts. And I remember about 45 minutes after Christmas, they're out in the garage. Because I'd gotten Sarah like a big dollhouse and Josh a little carpenter's workbench. And they had these huge boxes they came in. And I remember 45 minutes after all the Christmas deal, they're in the garage climbing in out of the boxes. And I remember standing there, I have it on video, going, spend all that money on the gifts and all they want to do is play with these boxes. I need to learn something about Christmas here. It was just that sense of, it doesn't need to be a lot of stuff. And then this year, Laura did something brilliant with the daughters-in-law. We've both been talking about, man, you know, we always try to pick out something for each of the grandkids, of course. And But you feel like, okay, well, we think this is cool, but do they already have that? Or is that something they want to have? So there's some app called Giftster or something like that. Hmm. And it's basically like Laura sends a link to all the daughters-in-law and says, hey, pick out some things that you'd want us to get for your kids for Christmas. So mom and dad actually say, this is what would be really cool, or this is the things we're focused on this year. And it was so fun because they all filled it out about the same time, and Laura got it a week ago or so, and she was looking over, and I mean, it was like her Christmas going, okay, I know exactly what I'm getting for every grandchild. And, you know, had her Christmas shopping for them done in 5 minutes. And I don't know, there was something about that just going, we know we're getting a gift that their kids are going to like. We know it's good for their parents too. I don't know, it just felt like reduced so much stress, because historically, gift giving can be a little stressful thing in our family.
Well, it's problematic. Mm-hmm. Because not everybody is a good gift giver. Mm-hmm. I'm not a great gift giver. Mm-hmm. I don't pay attention to detail enough to, know what's going on. And then, you know, when you expand the circle, you see your grandkids a lot, but you don't see them every day.
Right.
You don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
What they're doing.
Exactly. So we're lucky with ours even living in town, and we still don't see them that much. Keep going.
Right.
Sorry.
No, so you... And so what happens is you know, you get a gift and you don't know somebody that well. And nowadays too, with online shopping and all the shops and the details, I mean, I can tell my kids something super specific and they can find it at some place I've never heard of in 2 seconds.
Right.
And so, you know, and we've kind of done that with extended family. We ended up trading gift cards with my nieces and nephews, which is, that's silly, but we do it anyway. Because we want to get them, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know.
Yeah.
At some point, it just becomes an exchange of money.
Yeah, yeah. It's been funny that the girls, last Christmas, Laura and Sarah and our daughters-in-law were talking about, you know, what are we going to do for Christmas going forward? And they love to buy gifts for each other and surprise each other and do the exchange thing. And I don't know, the boys and I were doing something, whatever, and somehow we overheard some part of the conversation, and I said to the guys, I said, all right, so it looks like next year we're not drawing names, because we'll usually draw names, which is so ridiculous, because, you know, if one of my sons draws one of his sisters-in-law, well, his wife's going to buy the gift, right? That's the way it works.
I haven't purchased a Christmas gift in 25 years, so.
Exactly.
Sorry, guys.
No. So I said, so it sounds like the girls are going to give each other gifts. Why don't we decide what we're going to do? And so it was a real quick conversation. Nothing.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Let's just go have a nice dinner.
The other day, Laura goes, what are you doing for the boys? I said, nothing. Just what we said last year. We're all good, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm sure I'll do something. But I'm thrilled that they don't feel that pressure of, oh, my gosh, I got to figure out which one of my brothers do I buy something for.
Right.
I think we're all in a day and age, if we need something, we go get it.
I think at this stage of life, yeah.
Yeah. I think what I like to do, if I get a gift, and kids have done this a couple of times in the past, if I get a gift given to me, I love for it to be an experience versus, you know, a pair of socks or whatever, you know. And that's been really fun. A couple of years ago, they gave me there's this place across 65, across the interstate here. I didn't know what it is. It was one of those like high ropes courses, you know. Mm-hmm. I went and did it with the three of them. Yeah. It was an absolute blast.
Yeah, that's fun.
So experiences. That'd be the one thing I'd still go, okay, that's a fun gift. But for the most part, I'm like, I'm just thrilled to have everybody around the table, get to hang out a little bit, and when everybody leaves, I'm happy too.
Right. That's what I told Jen last night, because my birthday is 3 days after Christmas.
Forget that, yeah.
And we were laughing. Caroline said, oh my gosh, it stresses mom out that we can't celebrate. I said, all I want for my birthday is not to have to decide what I want to do for my birthday.
Yeah.
I just want it to be a normal day.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like I'm pretty good at enjoying life on most days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, you know, as I can, but it's like, I don't want to have to think about, hey, do I want to go to lunch? Let's just do it. Yeah. Let's just have a normal day.
Yeah.
And
yeah. What were birthdays like for your kids when they were growing up in y'all's home?
What do you mean?
Like were they a big deal? Were there parties? Did you make a day out of it?
Some of all that, I think.
Yeah.
We had Jen's mom got us this, which I always liked this. We had this plate, your special plate. You know, we'd bring that out.
Those red ones.
Yeah.
Those are awesome.
So I like that.
Yeah, those are awesome.
we had parties, kids had friends, we took them to do things, different things as they got older, you know? But
yeah. No, it's interesting because I see some families where Christmas, a holiday, like even like a birthday will kind of come and go. And then, you know, I know like for us, and I don't know if this came out of what for Laura and for me both, but, you know, we, after the kids would go to bed the night before the birthday, we would decorate, you know, the doors with streamers and stuff, you know, and then they the night before they knew they got to choose what they want for breakfast and what they want to do for dinner. And it was, I just look back, it was kind of cool. It was just honoring them as their day. But you realize, okay, that's not sustainable your whole of your life is when you get into adulthood. But for kids, it was so much fun. You know, it was always chocolate chip pancakes for breakfast, it seemed like, for all four of my kids.
Mm-hmm. And I think different personalities like different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't know. I didn't think about it in terms of personality when I was doing stuff for my kids. But I like, you know, last year we did something pretty cool. We had I made gumbo, and we had another couple of families over that one of the wives and I are close birthdays, fairly close birthdays. So we had us and then all the kids that had grown up together and spouses or significant others.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, we hadn't done that in a long time. So that was a big, big deal. We ended up just, you know, shooting the bull and playing one little game, and it was fun. But it was just a fun night, and it wasn't, you know, as I mentioned before, it wasn't terribly orchestrated. I guess I don't want people to feel like, for me, that they have to come up with something to do or say.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't want my kids to be driving to my house going, oh my gosh, we got to, you know, is dad going to like this gift? You know, is he going to, what are we going to do? Or, you know, are we going to have to go around the table and say something? And I know people do that, and that's great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I don't want them, we do some of that organically, and I don't want my kids to feel like they've got to think of that.
Right.
Every time they come,
right.
Every time it's my birthday,
yeah.
You know,
because it might be hard for them to find something good about you.
There's going
to
be times that it's going to be tough, or they're going to repeat things, and Will probably say, "Well, he won't remember what we said last year anyway."
So let's just say it again. I think I got my notes from last year.
But I have, you know, I've registered certain things they've said over the years, and even over the last few years, that I could die today, and those things, I don't need that.
Yeah.
I don't need an orchestrated. For me,
yeah,
everybody's different, and circumstances are different. So I'm not knocking that at all. I'm just saying, you know, in our world,
Have you, when you come to, you know, this holiday season, Thanksgiving? Of course, I guess this will come out right after Thanksgiving, but then Christmas coming as well. You know, when our kids were little, there was a certain sense of chaos to the holidays that's even different than today's chaos. I think, you know, just it was just little kids and expectations they had. I don't know if I just thought of this about this question. If you could go back and set a different rhythm for Thanksgiving, Christmas, or whatever with your family, how would you change the way y'all did things?
I don't know that I would change a lot.
No, that's cool.
I mean, you know, Jen might have a different answer, but as I look back, one of the things, we've typically traveled on the holidays. We made that decision because, you know, there's only four of us. Now there's five.
Yep.
We do one family Thanksgiving, one family Christmas. That may change over this year and next year. Yep. It's going to probably change.
As your kids get older, I think it does.
Kids get older, it has to change. Grandkids come along, and I'm a, you know, we were having this discussion the other night with a couple friend of ours. The wife is an Enneagram 9. Mm. So things tend to be, activities, people tend to be more equal.
Yep.
A request from somebody has as much weight as a request from somebody closer to you.
Gotcha.
You know, because the tension, they don't want conflict, and whatever that is, I'm the opposite of that.
Right.
So there's very much a hierarchy when it comes to my time.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty selfish with it.
Yeah. For where you want to spend it or invest it or give
it away. And it's not that I don't love the people that are on the periphery, but, you know, my kids and my wife generally get first shot at just about everything.
Yeah.
And so as they are not available all the time, when they are, you know, we're probably going to default more to them.
Yeah.
And when grandkids come along, for damn sure, we're going to, you know, default to that. So, but I think because we travel, there's always been a sense of flexibility.
Yeah.
And so you know, some years, I'm sure there's probably some things we'd like to do over, but I don't think we've got any, nothing comes to mind that was either an incredible tradition or this is something we'd like to change. I mean, Caroline even mentioned last night, she said, I love hearing you and your sister talk about funny stories from either growing up or when y'all were in your wilder days and just things, and, you know, inevitably we'll tell a story that the kids have never heard.
Isn't that amazing?
So I think, I think the laughter,
that's big,
and the togetherness, and then the, you know, I did put most of the gift giving on Jen, and so she's probably glad that that's minimized over the years, and it's usually more chaos on the mom when it comes to kids and holidays and all that. But I think we've had a decent rhythm over the holidays.
That's so cool. Good.
I mean, I think if it could be, my memory's not great, so I could be remembering it wrong. And there's been stressful holidays for sure.
Yeah.
But and by the end, everybody's usually ready for January 2nd to be here.
Yeah. It's so true. I think one of the things we did really well, and we fell into it, it wasn't like super intentional or anything, but when Josh was born in June, and I remember reaching out, Laura and I talking about this, and we reached out to both sets of our parents and just said, hey, we want to start a tradition that we want to do forever. We want our kids to wake up in their own beds on Christmas morning in their own house. You know, it's just like, for me, there's this part of me going, that feels iconic childhood, you know? And growing up as a kid, we had done that some, but we'd also sometimes everybody go to Grandma Hilton's house and we'd be there and wake up on Christmas morning with, you know, all 16 cousins, and it was just a zoo fest, you know? But our parents were both, we were fortunate, both our parents were like, that's fantastic. And we'd say, you're welcome to come to us if you want to. But I think in hindsight, especially talking with so many people about family challenges through the holidays, I think us deciding what works best for our little kids was a great decision we made early on, and not feeling like, oh gosh, we got to drag them somewhere. Now, there were certainly years where I think a day or two after Christmas, we'd jump in the car and we'd take off and we'd go and be with family somewhere. That I'm not opposed to going to be with my family, but we felt like this was, for us, this is what we wanted to do. I think the other thing I was talking about with Sarah just earlier this week is growing up, Thanksgiving especially felt like every Thanksgiving we were with Laura's twin sister and their family. They have four kids and we have four kids and they're all matched up just a few months apart in age. And so Thanksgivings were always big. You know, there were like 12 of us, you know, with eight little kids running around. And then even when we got into probably high school, couple of their boys were always playing in some kind of high school basketball tournament over Thanksgiving. So most of the time we would drive up to Chicago and be with all of them. And it was just like, I remember in real time thinking, man, this is awesome. Thanksgiving is always going to be the Heltons and the Coffees. We'll always be together. And it was easy. It was so much fun. But, you know, all of our kids got married. Their kids are getting married. And there's grandbabies coming on their side and our side. And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever all be together for a holiday again like that. And so, you know, it does change over time, the extended family part of it especially. Because, golly, when we get our crew together now, we're up to something, 9 and 7. We're up to 16 or 17 of us that get together. So it's just like, that's a full house. We're up to 18. What am I saying? I can't even count how many. So, you know, we don't have room for their 15 to get together.
Right.
But those were fun days. And I think part of what I'm learning is as we get older, I just want to go, okay, what's changing now? And because we don't do what we used to do, that's not the end of the world. That's okay. You know?
I think that's the biggest thing. If we were, you know, sitting in an audience of younger families. Mm-hmm. And again, this is totally personality type driven. And I recognize that my personality type is not drawn naturally to tradition necessarily for the sake of tradition or the bigger group. Mm-hmm. I'm more introverted. So the bigger the group, the less interested I get.
Yeah.
I realize that's not perfect, but I'm just saying that's the perspective in which I give this little piece of information. I think being flexible when it comes to things that you consider traditions in your family is probably one of the most healthy things you can do for your spouse or your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because to your point, you know, these are traditions and they're fun. One of my favorite things to do was the Elf on the Shelf when that was a thing. Oh. You know, I'm a creative. We'd come up with, everybody does. You come up with funny stuff, but okay, that's gone. That's
right.
You know, my kids don't think that's funny anymore, and they think it's creepy that dad puts the elf, you know, wherever. So, but being flexible,
yeah,
Yeah. You know, just because you've always done this doesn't mean that that's appropriate. I mean, funny conversations I've had this week about Thanksgiving meals that people are going to have with, and what gets talked about is the dishes that nobody likes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, why do you still bring those? Well, because you just have to be willing to change as life changes. And I think, you know, our kids are in the rhythm and they love being on the road and being somewhere else for Christmas. I grew up being in my own home.
Yeah.
Jen grew up traveling. That's kind of the direction we went in that. And I kind of like it.
Yeah.
And so, but if you've always traveled or always stay home, circumstances may change. There may be a grandparent and not in great health or something. Mm-hmm. And you may go, hey, we're going to do something different this year.
Yes.
And that's not the end of the world.
Never. Right.
And people change.
Yeah.
You know, but there are things I went to and things I did Christmassy years ago that I don't really have much interest in doing anymore. And that's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some that, you know, we go to the Franklin Theater and see Christmas Vacation. I'll do that probably every year.
Yeah. as long as they're showing it.
As long as they're showing it. Yeah.
You know, it is fun. I loved what you said about traditions. That probably one of the greatest gifts we give is to, you know, hold our traditions open handed, kind of
lightly.
What you said, lightly. Yeah. It's funny. When our kids were little, and I have no idea where this stupid idea came from, but I mean, early on in life, I remember one Christmas, you know, because we love the anticipation of Santa Claus coming. So I went out and bought a little flashlight, little laser red light, and a set of bells. And so what we would do every Christmas is we would tell the kids, hey, everybody, you need to go to sleep. And on Christmas Eve, they got to sleep in the bonus room together. You know, Josh was such a trooper because we probably started this when he was 7 or 8. So he already had figured this Santa Claus out, but he would just jump in there to help his little siblings. And I would go, Laura would be putting him down, and then I would sneak outside, and I would do my ho, ho, ho voice, and I'd have my bells ringing, and Rudolph's nose, would that red flashlight would go through the window, you know. And one year I had Josh came out and helped me. And we were throwing basketballs and volleyballs up on the roof to make it sound like the reindeer bouncing around. We did that every year. And, you know, Jonathan being the youngest, just – you know, there was a year when the other three were all in on the real story, but Jonathan was still believed, and they were incredible at just, you know, celebrating. And I remember thinking, what a fun little tradition we had. And then, you know, you outgrow it, and so obviously you stop doing it. But I remember I kind of put in the back of my brain, hey, this is cool. I'm going to be that grandpa. I'm going to do the rounds and go to all my kids' houses and, you know, do this for my grandkids because this will be fun. I still have that same red flashlight in the back of my sock drawer, right? Well, it's been funny because my kids, that's not a tradition they're interested in doing, so I've never done it for them. And I remember the first year going, well, you wouldn't want me to do this? And I was, you know, skosh butt hurt, but, you know, able to get over it really quick and go, oh, they don't have to carry on my tradition. It was fun for them, and that one has died. It's over.
Yeah,
and
right.
Being okay with letting do that. When you said that, that's what I thought of. Being okay just to let what was a cool tradition in real time for my family. Okay, it ended. It doesn't have to be carried on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true.
You know? Yeah. You know, there are a couple of traditions. When you said Franklin Theater, too, we started doing when Palmer, our first grandchild, was born, which is probably 2, we did this little Christmas cooking day where the grandkids and the daughters-in-law and Sarah and Laura would just get in the kitchen and make cookies. Well, it's so funny because we sent out a little Christmas calendar in probably in November, and we just talk about, hey, here's 4 or 5 things we're going to do together during the Christmas season. If you want to, come on. And most of the time, our kids, we're into it. We'll do these fun little things. But this year on the calendar, I didn't put Christmas cookie cook-off or whatever it's called, you know. And it's funny because one of the daughters just said, hey, we need to do this. Would this date work for everybody? So it's so funny, you know. It's kind of become a moms and kids things. But, boy, there's a bucket load of kids around our tiny little island. And, you know, they make the cookies. And for this season, that's fun. We'll see how long it lasts.
Right. Well, I think that's the key. It's just to, you know, every year kind of reevaluate. And again, I get that I'm not carrying the banner of tradition just by personality.
Yeah.
But, and there's some that, you know, the opposite is true, I think, that I have to think about. Jen reminded me today of one of my father-in-law's quotes that I think was great, is if you want to make memories, it takes work.
Wow, that's a great line.
It is, and he has said that. He said something else years ago, too. We were talking about we're all together, and kids are younger, and I looked at him at the end of one night. I go, man, this is chaos. And he goes, yeah, but then when it gets quiet, it's not as fun. You know, and yeah. I mean, one day that chaos is going to go. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. he was right. And I thought about that. I think about that a lot, that just the chaos of,
yeah,
you know, we've talked about this before. What's the proverb of where the stables are clean, there are no oxen?
Exactly.
You know, and so
exactly.
I think just understanding that maybe each year is different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
it is.
Let's figure out what's, you know, like Jessica responding to that. Okay, that's important to her.
Yeah.
And to the girls and the kids, and maybe some of the other things that, you know, you look back at the end of the year, take inventory and go, I didn't get a great response on that. Maybe we'll take that off the list
exactly.
next year.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And, you know, I think that's, again, I think some flexibility in the holidays is.
Well, the Christmas cookie thing, I think that's evolving, and it's interesting. It may be driven by Jessica, but it may be driven by a couple of the grandkids, because what they've realized is after they make all those cookies in the morning, I forgot about this, but this is part of the same day. That afternoon, they set up the hot chocolate stand and the cookie stand. And there's a couple of my grandchildren that are little entrepreneurs already, so they like to make their money. So mm-hmm. Whatever Saturday that is in December, I may be calling you, say, okay, bring a couple bucks and come down for my grandkids.
I think I've done that before.
You have. That's yeah. why. So I may call you again.
Yeah.
It was so fun watching them.
Mom put the hard sell on me one year. I mean, it's like, hey, you can't leave without, yeah. Listen, I don't want this to get contentious now, but, you know.
Mr. Steve, you only bought one cookie, and
I'm out of money. I don't even really like cookies. I'm just giving it because I like you. So, you know.
Yeah.
Have you, we were talking about this last night. Have you ever spent a Thanksgiving alone?
Like by myself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's generally what alone means.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you. I was
East Tennessee
public education.
I realized for an Enneagram 7, that's a foreign kind of concept. Alone by myself?
No, yeah. I remember, I bet it was 19. It's funny, probably I'll know the year, but it was early 80s. My mom had died. I was in grad school in Chicago. It was 81 or 82, 82 or 83. I was in grad school, and for some reason, it probably was financial. I couldn't afford to drive from Chicago back to East Tennessee to go home for Thanksgiving. And the people I lived with, I lived in the basement of a family's home when I was in grad school. And they were super gracious, kind people, but they were going out of town for the holidays also. And I've not thought about this in years, but I remember on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I was doing an interview for somebody for a newspaper that I was working for, and I had to write this column. I remember sitting in the parking lot, scribbling on my notes in the old school paper, pen and paper, and there's a Dan Fogelberg song that came on. Isn't this funny? Come back to mind. The old Lang Syne. Remember that? And it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I'm sitting in my car. I'm writing these notes. Starting to begin to realize, gosh, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I have no plans. And I'm writing these notes, and that song comes on the radio. And then literally, if you remember the lyrics of the song, it begins to snow while that song's coming on. And I remember just sitting there going, oh, my gosh. And I felt so lonely. It wasn't a good feeling for me. And that Thursday, I remember waking up, and, you know, I don't know how I ate in grad school. I didn't have a meal plan. I don't know what I did for food, but I remember the grocery store was open. I went and I bought some deli turkey, and that was my Thanksgiving day. But yeah, it was, the whole day was alone. And it was a sad day. Like, gosh, this isn't the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great question. I'd forgotten that I've done that once. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I liked it.
I can't imagine you would.
Uh-uh.
Jen asked me that, or Caroline maybe asked me that last night. Maybe Jen remembered it. It was when I was playing basketball. I had one alone. We had a game on the Wednesday and then a game on the Friday. And so we were in Charleston for Thanksgiving Day. It wasn't totally alone. We had a team lunch at the hotel. It was actually decent hotel food. That was the thing I was worried about the most. But then the rest of the day I was alone. It was the first time I hadn't been with my family over the holidays.
Yeah.
And Jen made an observation. She said, I bet you were okay with it. I said, you know, as I think back, there was a twinge of sadness when I called home, but I was okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And I kind of went out and tooled around and, you know, watched some football. It was okay.
Yeah. And that's, That's a great question. Yeah, but I'd forgotten that was, yeah, I can remember where I was so clearly. That's a great question when you ask that.
And those are, you know, again, I don't want to make light of that. There are people that are alone for the holidays, not by choice, and that are, sure, you know, with much more serious circumstances than that. This was just I think that first time, if you've ever had that experience, the first time you are alone for the holidays, it is kind of a strange, mm-hmm, strange thing. But
The reason I said by myself, that was such a dumb response on my part, but I was thinking about this 38-year season of life of being married, and obviously never been alone during that time. But what came to my mind when you first asked the question was the first Christmas when all of our kids were going to be somewhere else all day on Christmas. And so it was just Laura and me together. And that was a weird Christmas, you know, like, okay, we've got all these kids and grands. They're not seeing anybody today. We've had a couple where we had a Thanksgiving a couple of years ago that turned out to be awesome because, you know, the three married boys and their wives were doing something with their family on Thanksgiving Day, and one of them was traveling to Texas, and so they weren't coming back, so we weren't doing Thanksgiving until Sunday after Thanksgiving. And so Laura and I and Sarah decided, let's do Thanksgiving, let's do something fun, because I've always had Thanksgiving in my home except for that one. So we went down to Savannah, just the three of us, and spent like 4 days. And it was so much fun, you know. Did the eat out in the restaurant or the hotel, or I don't remember where we ate that day, but it was just something different to be traveling over the Thanksgiving holiday, and it didn't feel sad because, you know, the three of us were together and we were enjoying it. But when you first said that about alone, I thought, I do remember just waking up and going, okay, Merry Christmas. There's no kids coming over,
right?
And yet, you know, it's totally cool. That's the way we wanted it for them, but it was again. It's just the adjustments of the way life changes as you get older.
How do you adjust to that? Because that's a big change for your personality.
I think it was easy only in knowing that we were doing it a day or two later.
Okay.
Now, I think if we were like, Christmas got canceled for 1 year for some reason, I think that'd be really hard. But, you know, as of now, in this season of our life at least, our kids want to be together with each other during the holidays. We've chosen all along, we don't mind what day it is. So we don't mind if we, you know, do Christmas 2 or 3, like I think we're doing it on Christmas Eve this year is going to be our Christmas.
That's a big
Christmas
flexibility step too. And a lot of people aren't flexible on that.
Oh, I'm surprised. It doesn't feel like that's that big of a deal, but I mean,
I gotta say,
I have couples who come in here and they do 4 Christmases on Christmas Day because both their parents are divorced and everybody wants to see them on Christmas. And so they'll drag their grandkids. They'll do a breakfast and they'll do a brunch and they'll do a lunch and they'll do a dinner. And I'm going, I don't know. That feels crazy making to me.
It does feel crazy. And you know, not knocking that, but we're old, so we can say some things that might offend people. But that does feel like a lot.
Well, I want to say shame on you parents. And I don't like to say shame on anybody much, but I'm like, let your kids figure out what works best for them and your grandchildren. It's not all about you. My God, grow up.
I mean, that's what I feel. Yeah, I'm going to echo that.
I'm sorry. I get a little pissed off on that one because I'm like, because you know, these are young 30-year-olds sitting on my couch, and they love their parents. They really do, and they want to honor their parents. But they're also like,
my gosh.
What the heck?
Yeah, right. You know?
It can't be all about us. I have a dear friend who, you know, he used to say, yeah, sometimes I think the happiest day of my life was when my mom died and we didn't have to go to her house for dinner all the time. And he said, is that a bad thing to say? And I just thought, well, I don't know. Let's don't process it. I understand your point. But there was such that parental expectation that you need to do this so that I stay okay from our generation. I'm like, guys, we got to grow up, man. We got to grow up.
I will say, shout out Jen's parents and my mom. They have never done that.
You've said that
both sides of the family have been really good about, hey, this
same
is,
for us. Yeah.
This is all we can do, or this is when we can do it, so that's a gift.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because, it is. It's not to be taken lightly.
We've had this conversation as friends. I mean, as a parent, your whole job a lot of the time is just to kind of get run over. Not run over, that's strong, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're always the one flexing, and that, to me, that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And you just, you know, this is a job that's not, you don't get immediate payback, feedback. You're in it for the long term, and the results are probably in the next life a lot. Yeah. Some here. But, you know, you're right. Grow up, parents. Yeah. Let your kids do what they need to do. Yes. Give them some grace and let them breathe. My gosh, man.
I know it's an overused, you know, cliche or whatever, but it's overused because it makes sense. You know, I think oversimplistically, you know, I think our role as parents is to give our kids roots and wings, you know, and I think there is a season when we're much more involved and we're much more directive, you know, when they're real little, you know, we're helping them understand what's right, wrong, good, bad, ugly, right? Mm-hmm. But gosh, if our job really is to give them wings, well, it's wings to fly the nest. It's wings to leave. It's wings to make their own decisions. Well, that needs to be true on holidays too. You
know, right.
Like it's gosh, we'd love to have you here, but if you can't come, that's all right. And mean that.
And I would say in general too, we've talked about, you and I've talked about this. Holidays are great, but like the other holidays we talked about, I think we talked about it in the context of Mother's Day and Father's Day.
We did, yeah, you're right.
Which are great holidays, but I don't need extra acknowledgement on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Because my kids generally acknowledge me throughout the year.
Yeah.
Let's acknowledge the birth of Christ. Yeah. That's a big event.
Yeah.
But let's acknowledge him more often. Mm-hmm. And let's not make that bigger than it, use your word from the last podcast. Let's right size it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all that goes with it.
Yes.
And all the traditions. Yeah. Let's just make sure we're thinking with a clear head, because that is what it's about. And Thanksgiving's the same way. We're celebrating, you know, being thankful for provision that was given in a new land.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, I think most of us could probably do a little more of that throughout the year.
Absolutely.
Which might take away some of the demand that we feel and the pressure we feel on mm-hmm. that day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it feels like, you know, if you could shift a little of that to throughout the year,
mm-hmm.
kind of prorate it.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then there might not be quite as much pressure on those particular days, but it's really just, it's a spirit of Thanksgiving and a spirit of celebrating mm-hmm. Christ.
Yeah.
And so as the great Aaron Rodgers said to the Green Bay fans one year, relax, just relax a little bit, you know?
That's a great line.
Yeah, that's great.
It's funny when you said that, you know, for a number of years, you know, he talked about Christmas, celebrate the birth of Jesus, and Thanksgiving to be grateful. For a number of years, I would find myself always coming to our meal wanting to have just giving thought to a little prayer, you know, not, I'd write stuff out sometimes, or I'd find a prayer that I thought was really cool for a holiday. I just like sharing it because I don't know, it just felt like it's different than our normal way we pray around a meal. And I loved bringing that. And I did, I don't know, for a number of years, it was really cool. I forgot about this till you said this, but 3 or 4 years ago, we were getting ready to eat. And I had printed something out. I thought, I'm going to share this little prayer just with our family before we eat. And, I remember Josh and Jacob, and it might have been all three of them, might have been John too, but I don't remember, but there's this book called Every Moment Holy. There's actually a series of three of them, and they're like little family liturgical books. They're awesome. They're just really a cool resource for young families or any age family, I guess, to have in their home. And I just remember Josh go, hey, before we eat, everybody were standing around in the kitchen. He said, Jake and I think it was just two of them. He said, Jake and I have something we want to do. And so they read this Thanksgiving liturgy, this call and response. It was this beautiful prayer. It probably was 75 seconds long, but every word was just so poignant and so beautiful. And I remember sitting there and watching, you know, two of my sons initiate this, me not knowing it's coming. And in my pocket, I've got my little, you know, printed out prayer. And I thought, well, I don't need that this year.
Right.
And it was such a beautiful moment just to see that something in them had stirred going, we read this, we've talked about it. We think this would be a cool way to start our Thanksgiving together. And those are even surprise moments that I couldn't have planned that in a million years. I don't know that's coming.
Right.
But it was it's a moment I will always carry going the day my sons prayed over our family Thanksgiving. I was but that was really cool, you know, and I'm grateful for those little moments like that.
And I think those happen, you know, you see your kids a lot, you have meals with them mm-hmm. a lot. We see our kids a lot. We have meals with them a lot. Sometimes the conversation is deep and meaningful.
Yeah.
Other times it's not.
Yeah,
and Jen and I have learned and processed is both are okay.
Yeah.
If you it's like spending time, you know, this phrase that came up years ago, quality time. I don't know that that's reality.
Yeah.
It's just time. Cuz you can't predict when the quality is going to come. If you spend enough time with your kids. And so I think there's this expectation that Thanksgiving should be this momentous event, but a lot of times it's things like that surprise you. Or even if you're in a family and you try something like that and you just think it flops and nobody's paying attention and kids are crying, that's okay too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because there may be other times where it gets better.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so again, I just think there's so many expectations.
Hold it all loosely, right?
Yeah. And
one of the things Laura has always loved at Thanksgiving time is, you know, to have a moment after the meal, usually, hey, can everybody share something you're thankful for? You know, just textbook predictable, right? And it's always a rich, beautiful time. It's one of the things that she really loves. And I remember several years ago when there were so many grandbabies that were so little, and we tried to do it, and within 2 minutes, it was so derailed.
Here's what I'd be thankful for. I would be thankful if we could end this, because my kid is screaming, and I would like to go get them not to be screaming, right?
Yeah, and I remember looking at Laura's face, and I thought, oh, gosh, is she going to be sad? And this big smile on her face. And, you know, we ended up not doing, probably two people shared something, and that was it. And it was just this sense of being able to go, all right, it ain't going to happen. And we're thankful that all this noise is here that keeps it from happening, because it's just a new beginning. And it was okay, you know? Yeah.
Well, that's a good exercise. And sometimes I think, you know, we've done that some over the years, not every year. And,
yeah.
But, you know, man, there's times, if I'm being honest, I'm sitting around, I got to struggle to think of something that I'm being thankful for.
Yeah.
And people are, there's a lot of families that are in that season where it's a hard season. Yes. But again, good for her on the flexibility.
Yeah.
But it is. Yeah. But that's kind of, that is the rhythm of your family. Y'all do that a lot. We do things like that a lot.
And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I think you said a minute ago, so spot on that, you know, it's, I remember reading or hearing or something somewhere that quality time requires a quantity of time, you know, so cheesy, but so true. I think it does. But that's why I do have grace for, you know, these families where you got a kid living in California and one in Texas and one in Massachusetts, and you all try to get together in Nashville, and, you know, you're only getting together twice a year maybe. I can appreciate that anxiety would probably percolate, like, oh my gosh, we're going to make this the best time we can.
Right.
You know, like, I can see how that happens.
Sure, absolutely.
But somehow I got to be able to, you know, take my proverbial Valium and go, hang on a minute. You know, we've got these 4 days together. We got these 3 days together. I can't make it be something. But if I can just be present with each moment, and I love the name of that little book, and realize that every moment we have together is holy. Something cool could happen here. And sometimes the cool is, well, we just had a meal. We just had a ball game on in the background, you know, and not try to force. I think that's where I've gotten in trouble, when I try to force a special moment, you know, instead of just going. I mean, I love what your father-in-law says. Memories take work, or however he said it.
Yeah, making memories takes work. But I think I think part of that is what you're saying. It doesn't mean that the work you put into this particular event is going to be a memory.
Exactly.
It's consistent work over time, I think, and creating a safe space for, hey, if your three kids come from three different parts of the country and you're all together, maybe just be hopeful that there's one really sweet thing that comes out of it. Yep. But you can try to orchestrate it all day long. Y'all can sit around the table and share things you're thankful about each other.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that may not work.
May or may not work.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I love that. Yeah.
You know, and but probably if you look hard enough, there'll be something. You know, sometimes it's just you've shared this too. I look out and I see my son, daughter, and daughter-in-law laughing together.
Oh,
that's probably enough for me.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
And maybe, yeah, I love how you said that. Maybe it's just learning to have my eyes open enough to realize there's some really beautiful moments happening that I had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
But I can keep my hands over here in the sink washing the dish, and I look down and go, look at all of them. That's one of my favorite moments and, you know, I can't orchestrate this. I can't plan this. But at some moment when the meal ends and maybe I've gotten up to do something and Laura's gone to do something, and I realize neither of us are in the room. And maybe the grandkids are playing outside or wherever, but I suddenly look and most all the adult kids are around the table, and they're either laughing or it's really quiet and only one person's talking. They're all locked in on them, and I realize I don't get to be a part of that moment, but that moment's happening. Wow.
Perfect.
I'm grateful. You know, and just kind of I don't have to run in there. Hey, what are y'all talking about? They're just, Jeff, stay away. Let it ride right now.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the surprise moments where I just live with a great sense of gratitude to go, okay, our kids aren't perfect. They have their spits and spats over stuff, but at the end of the day, they love each other. Want to be able to get engage and I don't always have to be a part of every one of those moments.
Yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah.
I remember looking around last year. I forget, maybe it was last year, a couple of years, but we were at my family's and niece and nephews, kids and everybody. And we were kind of over like that over in the kitchen. And I see them, they've all gotten older. They're all telling their own stories and laughing, you know, and my family's we're a humor crowd.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a pretty good sense of humor. I've got some funny people in my family.
Yeah.
But it wasn't me directing it.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, that was kind of my role for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, after my uncle, who was hilarious, and it still is, but don't see him as much. But then it fell to me a little bit, my sister, but then watching them over there, just kind of telling funny stories and laughing and coming out of their shells. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was great.
Yeah. So, you know, it's
you can't orchestrate that stuff.
You're right. And I love, what was your phrase? It's consistency over time.
Yeah.
You know, there really is something about the whole body of work, not just one ball game. You know?
Yeah. Right.
It's the whole season.
And there's
unless
nothing,
you're the Titans and there is no body of work.
Well, and again, there's no,
I'm going to bring that up.
There's no, I don't want to minimize the, I don't mean to make light of, or minimize the going around the table, what are you thankful for?
Sure.
Okay, because even the exercise of that, I think, forces you to think mm-hmm. about things that you may not think of.
To remember.
To remember. So I think there is some value in that. If that's your family's style, mm-hmm. that's, mm-hmm. You know, not awkward when you do that. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I liked your phrase the other day, just pay attention to what else is going on. Because there's equal moments going around that are not orchestrated.
Yeah.
That are probably pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. 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 No, it's fun. I'm looking forward. I always look forward to when we're together. And, you know, I think, again, you said it and I'm stealing it from you, but I want to live with my hands just open and just hold it all loose, but have my eyes wide open enough to not miss it. And, you know, I don't mean this morbidly, but as I get older, I realize I've done a whole lot more Thanksgivings behind me than I'll ever do in front of me. You know, that's just mathematically accurate, right? And you know, I think, you know, I'm in that season, we've said this a couple times recently, but, you know, where I've had several buddies that I went to school with who have passed away in the last year or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel great. I think I'm in good shape. I'm, you know, overall healthy. That doesn't mean squat. At some level, anything could happen. And I think when we are together, I want to be awake enough not to be morbid. I'm never going to say, oh, kids, this may be my last Thanksgiving. I don't want to.
Oh, I'm going to say that every year. I want my kids to live with that.
I'll come and kill you.
I want my kids to live with that weight on their heads.
My grandmother.
Coming to join you, Elizabeth.
My grandmother used to say, well, when I'm dead and gone and my apron's hanging on that nail back there, I hope y'all remember I tried to make a good meal this year.
Yeah.
No, but I do want to be at least mindful enough to go, all right, you know, how do I take those mental pictures right now? This has been a good day. This has been a good holiday. It's been good just to see faces. And if there's more than that to be grateful for, I just don't want to miss it. Old Aerosmith. Don't want to close my eyes. Don't want to fall asleep. I don't want to miss a thing. I want to see it, you know? So it's a fun time of the year that I want to right size my expectations and just enjoy being together.
Yeah.
A lot to be thankful for.